Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to the series, A Woman After God's Heart. Being intentional in our devotion to pursuing God during our lifelong Christian journey. Lesson 9, our purpose. Why am I here? Why am I here is an ageless question we want to know because we wonder if our life truly matters. Do we have a purpose? Does that purpose have value and eternal significance? Understanding the purposes God has for us makes a dramatic difference in how we live out our life with the choices we make. The evolutionary belief, or those that claim to be an atheist, agnostic, or false religions, come to many of their own human conclusions. The sad thing about people trying to figure out why they are here and what purpose they have is that it is based on deceit. Only God, our Creator, knows us intimately and understands exactly why He made each of us for His purposes. Those who do not believe in the one true God, the one and only Savior, the only Bible inspired by God, will never be able to humanly discern or understand their purpose. What a waste of a life. But those who do worship Jehovah God, who are born-again believers, who do rely on the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to guide them, will have a whole different perspective on why they are here and what they should do with their life. We are not an accident or here by chance. Otherwise, there is no significant reason why we were created. We just go about our life with no ultimate purpose that truly matters. We just live and die, and that's the end of it. How depressing is that? The Bible tells us differently. In the book of Genesis, it tells us the meaning of life is that God created mankind in His image. We were specifically made by God, and that gives us deep-rooted value to God. Therefore, God made us to have a purpose. There is no greater satisfaction than that. Genesis 1, verses 27, describes how an all-wise, all-powerful, all-loving Creator had purpose in creating man and woman. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, God and Jesus. The Lord created mankind to bear His image. The phrase, bear the image of God, means that we were created with a purpose to reflect God's character. God created us to know Him and have a relationship with Him. Then we will know His character and put His character into our own lives. But it doesn't end with that. God's purpose for us is to tell others about God's character. We declare to people God created them in a unique way, and He will use that uniqueness in them to fulfill the purposes He has for them. Their life matters. What a great way to tell others about the love of God that He has for them. This is a purpose God has for us. The author of the book of Ecclesiastes looked for all the meaning of life in many vain pursuits. Solomon describes the feeling of his emptiness he felt. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2. Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. King Solomon had everything imaginable in his lifetime. He pursued purpose in his wealth beyond measure. 1,000 women as wives and concubines, the absolute most glorious horses and stalls, palaces and gardens that were the envy of the kingdoms, the best of gourmet foods and wines, the form of every entertainment available, and wisdom beyond any man of his time or ours. Solomon had everything you could possibly have while on earth. But look at what he says. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 10. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Solomon, as many people do, lived a life of pursuing worldly pleasure in his own purposes. But at the very end of his life, he stated that this was meaningless. It's a waste of a life to not know the purposes God has for us. People have testified that even though they achieved their goals of wealth and fame, relationships and pleasure, there was still a deep void inside of them, a feeling of emptiness that nothing seemed to fill. This is because God places that void in us when we don't pursue his purposes. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. In our hearts, we are aware that the here and now is not all there is. Yes, we might enjoy pleasures for a while, but the void never goes away. The emptiness will overwhelm us in time, and we will never be satisfied with earthly pursuits that take the place of God. Our purpose will never be enough because it is not based on what is eternal. Solomon did not tell us to not pursue goals and achievements. Rather, he is warning that we should keep God first in all our pursuits. That's God's purpose as we live our life to honor him in whatever we do. Pursuits and accomplishments, goals and gains are not in and of themselves wrong. What is wrong is when we put those above God and they become a form of an idol. An idol is anything or anyone that takes the place of putting God first. In Psalm 73, Asaph was tempted to envy the wicked who seemed to have everything they wanted and had no care for God and others. But then he remembered their ultimate end, a meaningless life without God and no eternal godly rewards. Asaph turned back to thinking what was important and true. Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. To Asaph, a relationship with God mattered above all else in life. Without that relationship, life has no real, lasting, eternal purpose. It has been said, God has made us for himself, and therefore our heart will be restless until it finds rest in living our life for God. Let's do PAT, Practical Application Tools. 5 ways to live in God's purpose. Tool number 1, glorify God. Tool number 2, follow Jesus' example. Tool number 3, trust as you decide. Tool number 4, make him known to others. Tool number 5, prepare for eternity. Tool number 1, glorify God. God created us with a purpose to glorify him by obeying him. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or bad. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We can't glorify God and fulfill his purpose of loving him if we don't know and obey his word, all of it. We glorify God specifically with our own uniqueness as we obey him. Psalm 139, verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. This indicates that God's purpose for each of us is precise and personal. God is in control of these three things. One, God created us uniquely. Two, God is sovereign in our life. And three, God knows the length of our life. How do we glorify God by obeying the scriptures? Well, we have a conscience that God gave us to know right from wrong. Therefore, whatever decisions we make, whatever we pursue, we line it up with the word of God, the ways of God, and the wisdom of God. We glorify God in the choices we make, big or small. We do this by obeying his word in our little daily decisions and in our big choices of life. We have a life of purpose as we glorify God by obeying his commands. Tool number two, follow Jesus's example. The New Testament portrays Jesus as the ultimate example of how to have a life of purpose. And since we are followers of him, then we live our lives to do the same. John 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will. Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done. To do God's will and not our own means to surrender to God's ways instead of giving in to mine. We don't put our own selfish desires and sinful nature above the way God wants us to live our lives. Here are some ways we can follow Jesus' examples as we keep God's purposes for us in mind. Doing even the hard things God asks of us through his word. Knowing and quoting scripture because it is God's living word that transforms people. Jesus did this with the Old Testament. Making disciples so they can be equipped and mature in the ways of God. Jesus spent most of his time with believers and building them. Being a mentor or a discipler is following what was important to Jesus, or being mentored or discipled by a person who knows the true meaning of Scripture. Continually praying. Jesus went alone to pray. He prayed before eating. He prayed with his disciples. He prayed when he was doing the work of the Lord. God tells us to follow this example, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Speaking the truth in love. Correcting and rebuking when necessary. Jesus did this to the crowds and even his own disciples. This means Jesus was more concerned about declaring God's truth than worrying about offending someone with God's truth. Being courageous to live a life that goes against the culture, that goes against God. Jesus never conformed to the ways of the world. He didn't conform to the wants or beliefs of his own disciples. He didn't try to please the crowd or be a part of the so-called popular group. He was willing to stand up for the ways of God, no matter how controversial those topics were, and regardless of how many followers left him for doing so, and many did, are we willing to do the same? Because it does come with a cost. Salvation and eternal life are a gift of God when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Once salvation is received by grace and faith alone, we are made into new creatures. We are constantly being sanctified or changed into the character of Christ as we know and do the purposes of God. We have a different perspective from the unsaved because we realize our time on earth is only a small part of our purpose. We will have a purpose in heaven also that God has prepared for us personally and eternally. Jesus gives us the meaning of life. John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." A full life Jesus is talking about is one that has meaning because it knows the purposes of God. It is devoid of aimless wandering because a person doesn't know God's purpose for their life. We have the full life Jesus is talking about because we walk with Him with God's purposes in mind. We have a life of purpose as we follow Christ's example. Tool number three, trust as you decide. There are many ways we fulfill God's purpose for our life. Loving Him, loving others, doing good works, discipling others, being honorable spouses and loving parents, or living a single life that displays God's character. There is a purpose in our family and friendships, job and ministry. There are many purposes during our lifetime that involves the main purpose, which is to glorify God in all we do. Honor Him, respect Him, obey Him, put Him first no matter what choices we make. Many times when making choices, we don't know the exact thing we should do or not do. Then we stay stuck until we think God has clearly shown us what is to be done. But God doesn't always make it clear. For example, should we take that new job, move to another state, buy a certain car? Should we go to this church or that church? Should we continue a friendship or is it time to let it go? Do we marry this person or not? How many children should we have? Which college should I go to? What am I to do as an empty nester? So many choices. We always line up our choices with Scripture. God will never want us to do something that contradicts His word. We don't make sinful choices. We don't make selfish choices that have no consideration for the effect it will have on others, such as in a marriage. And of course, we pray and pray and pray, seek godly counsel when necessary. And then we step out in faith as we trust God is sovereign in our choices. Sometimes we think there is only one right godly choice to make. Perhaps there is, but many more times there are various choices we can make that will eventually turn to good because God promises us that. So we make a choice and trust God in that choice. This is because God doesn't always make it crystal clear exactly what He would have us to do or what is the best choice. If we are listening to God's word, obeying it, seeking godly counsel, and applying it when applicable, praying about it, then we move forward with faith. Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good to those who love God. This is a message of hope that gives us when we're making decisions we are not sure about. God promises choices based on obeying and honoring Him will lead to an eventual positive outcome for those who trust Him in those decisions. In the Greek, it means a totality of God's sovereignty and that nothing is outside of His control. Yes, we make the choice, but God's sovereign control can make anything beneficial in the long run if we are basing our choices on loving Him and obeying Him. God's purpose is that we make choices while we trust in Him. We have a life of purpose when we trust God in our decisions, big and little. Tool number four, make Him known to others. One of our purposes is to openly share our faith with others. We ask God for opportunities and then faithfully tell them that God is their creator, that has a purpose for them, that Jesus Christ died on a cruel cross for their sins. And there is a guidebook called the Bible that gives them answers on how to live their lives in the most beneficial way possible. And that God will guide them through the hardships of life. They're not alone. This is because their life matters for an eternal purpose. And then we make Christ known by discipling others to maturity in the ways of God. It's a continual process for all of us. And there are many various ways to do this, uniquely fit for us. Christianity teaches that born-again believers should be an influence to the world around them in godliness and goodness. We are living a life of God's purpose when we radiate the character of Christ, the love of God, and tell others of His truths. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Never be timid to let people know you are a born-again Christian that has dedicated their life to serving God. This plants seeds that can make a vast difference in that person's life, if not now, long down the road. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The world is watching us. As Christians, one of our purposes is to influence the world by living out our faith. This is essentially acting as salt and light. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 17, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Another way to make Christ known is by doing good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you or give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Proverbs 22, verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. We have a life of purpose when we make Christ known and do good works that glorify God. Tool number 5, prepare for eternity. Why am I here? Part of why we're here is to ready ourselves for the certain journey we must take after death. Hebrews 9, verse 27, people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. The Bible is very clear that all men experience a single permanent earthly death. Once this happens, each person is accountable on Judgment Day on their actions and words in their life on earth. Jesus asks this sobering question: what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Mark 8, verses 36 through 37. Some may experience great success in this world, but that success is not pursued for the glory of God and motivated by love for God and others. This will be part of a wasted life. This is why God warns about the day of judgment. For Christians, we are judged by our choices. Did we live out the purposes of God? We don't lose our salvation on that judgment day, but we are not rewarded or rewarded accordingly. This is why we prepare for eternity. God not only purposes for us on earth to do His will, but He also has purposes for us to do in eternity that are according to His will. A life that does not know and do the purposes of God is a life that is wasted. We must take seriously Luke 17, verse 33. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. When we try to live our life pursuing our own purposes or being lukewarm and indifferent to the ways of God, then we lose the fullness of life God meant for us to have. On the other hand, when we live our lives knowing and doing the purposes of God, then we not only gain while on earth, but we gain eternal blessings. A life given absolutely to God and being followers of Christ is never wasted, because there is nothing more important than doing the purposes of God in whatever we choose to do. We do this because we are preparing for eternity. It's not so much about what purpose we choose and is that exactly what God wants us to do, but it is in the remembrance of as we choose our purposes and do those purposes, we're glorifying God. We are being followers of Christ. We are helping others to know Christ. Many people think our eternal purpose is holding harps and singing with the angels while we stroke their angel wings. No, God has given us such a grand purpose in heaven that we cannot even comprehend it. It is much more than we can ever imagine. The purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We enjoy God by following His purpose for our lives, which enables us to experience true and lasting joy, the abundant life that He desires for us as we keep our eyes on our future home in heaven. So God has made clear what our purposes are. Many times people will say, well, I want to know that one purpose. Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to work forward for this or walk away from that? We want God to specifically tell us what our choices should be. But God has given us a free will, and He speaks to us through His word. So our purposes are putting God into our choices and our pursuits. That's what He has made very clear to us. We have a life of purpose when we keep our eyes on the eternal as we live life on earth in the temporal. Let's recap 5 ways to live in God's purpose. Number 1, glorify God. Number 2, follow Jesus' example. Number 3, trust as you decide. Number 4, make Him known to others. Number 5, prepare for eternity. Keep these things in mind. 1, we have a life of purpose as we glorify Him by obeying His commands. 2, we have a life of purpose as we follow Christ's example. 3, we live a life of purpose when we trust God in our decisions, big and little. 4, we live a life of purpose when we make Christ known to others and do good works that glorify God. 5, we live a life of purpose when we keep our eyes on the eternal. May all of us live our life fulfilling God's purposes. This is what will ring out for all eternity. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing and sharing and leaving a review. When you do this, you are part of the team that is getting the Word of God out there to others. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever.